Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
The Lord of the camp for that, because we're here to worship. Praise God. Oh, the last Sunday in 2015. Praise God. Give the Lord a big hand, because he blessed us to be here. My goodness. Last week we talked about believing in Jesus, and my subject today is more reasons to believe in Jesus. How about that? We're going to go to John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15, and I believe that God is going to instill some things in our hearts today that will not only allow us to finish this new year strong, or this old year strong, but that'll catapult us into the new year with a greater fervency to love Jesus and to really share the message of his hope and redemption. We'll read verses 1 through 15, and you'll read the responding verses. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps in before me." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. And he answered to them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. Verse 15 together. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. Let's pray. Father God, today, there's something in my spirit today that lets me to know that there are so many more reasons to believe in Jesus today than we've ever in our entire life. Lord, there are miracles that you work in our lives that sometimes we don't really realize how miraculous they are. But somehow you're going to instill within us a fervency not only to end this year well, but to go into a new year with a greater desire to share the message of Jesus, the message of hope, the message of healing, the message of miracles. God, you're going to do something in us that will surpass even the things we thought of when we entered these doors today. And Lord, I thank you for that. And so, Lord, I pray that today would be a turning point in our lives as the miracle of what one person experienced who'd been 38 years in one condition, that, Lord, in a moment's time, by obedience, their life changed forever. Lord, help that to happen in our lives. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and glory, for we ask all these things in the powerful, awesome name of Jesus, and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. One thing I love about the message or the miracle of Jesus is that his ministry defies a lot of the things or ideas or thoughts or whatever that we have, that it brings us into the supernatural realm of heaven to a time-bound world that we live in. In other words, I don't think we have a real honor or even that we comprehend how miraculous the things that Jesus does in our lives, in my life, actually every day. Well, without a doubt, there are times that this humanity, that his humanity gave way to the divinity of his ability to turn water into wine or to walk on water or to raise people from the dead. But there appears to be only one clear motive in mind, and that is to fortify our belief in him and the power of God made available for all of his followers. That's what miracles are all about. That's all it is, to fortify your belief in him. Because, you know, if Jesus goes around and says, "Oh, hi, glad you're suffering with something. Oh, really, that's too bad. Hope you get better." But Jesus comes along and he changes your situation. He's the only one who can do it. And there's more reasons to believe in Jesus than that. But I'm going to start off with a few things that we can talk about. First of all, can you allow yourself to embrace the fact that the Holy Spirit desires to use you in ways that cannot be supported by your logic or reasoning? God's going to use you in ways that don't make sense. Well, some of you don't believe it yet. You will pretty soon. Jimmy, you got it, don't you? Wave your hand. You got it? Oh, good, good, good. At least I got one agreement in there. Okay. No, the deal is that God wants to use us in ways that we say, well, that doesn't logically fit into my paradigm of experience. I know. That's why you need Jesus. You by yourself, you're not much. You need Jesus. Well, are you willing to surrender your doubts and fears in exchange for bold faith to believe that what you might have thought of is indeed possible? I think some things we've relegated to the fact that, well, it's never going to happen. And you're right, it never will happen unless Jesus comes in. He's a game changer. He's a person that does things that are far beyond what we could imagine or think. Well, how about this third aspect of it? Are you willing to enter into the supernatural realm of hearing God's voice and experiencing the miraculous through the power of the Holy Spirit? Because that's what this whole story is about. And we'll go into another one in just a moment. But it's interesting how Jesus comes into a situation and all of a sudden everything changes. Well, believing in Jesus releases unrealized potential. Go back into the scripture in verse 3. It says, "And in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water." You know something? We're just like them. Oh, you may not believe it, but whether you realize it or not, every person in this room is waiting on something. You're waiting on something, some situation in your life to change. Am I right about it? How many of you have more money than you'll ever be able to use? How many of you are so well you couldn't stand to have Jesus touch you and make you better than what you are right now? I'm good. That cough really isn't that bad. A little more Vicks vapor rub, I'll be fine. How many of you need God to change your condition right now? I don't ask you for what, but you need God's help to change something in your life right now. Wave your hand at me. You're in the right place. You're at the right time. Because we all are waiting for something. But I want to tell you, for many of us today, the wait is over. God's about to do something. Because you obeyed him and you came here today, and God says, you know, when people come in with anticipation, believing that I'm going to do something, Jesus always shows up. Well, this is interesting. There are multitudes of people who live with things that keep them from becoming who God has designed them to be. And you know, a lot of times we just learn to live with it. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But if it could change and make your life better, wouldn't that be okay? I mean, you can learn to live with it. I mean, I've learned to live with some things about, you know, getting old. I used to play racquetball. I don't do that anymore. I'm going to tell you why. Because I can't. How's that work for you? I'm okay with that. But if I had it different, would I do it? Oh, honey, I'd like to get on the court and spank some folks, but I can't do that no more. But many people are waiting for something miraculous to happen to release them from the poverty of their existence, incapable of becoming who they desire to be, not do. I want to take it away from doing, but who you're going to be. I think every one of us wants to be who God has designed us to be to the fullest before he takes us home. So that means that many of them were waiting, many of the people were waiting for something miraculous to happen to release them from their poverty or their existence. Well, here's the next part about it. Many of them needed a new lens through which they would see themselves in life. Now, imagine yourself around the pool. I don't know all the various diseases. There were some diseases, and there could have been some of them that had mental issues. I don't know. But one thing they knew for sure, that at a certain time, it wasn't really announced, but an angel would appear. The waters would be troubled. First person in gets all the goodies. They knew that much. And so they're waiting. Like many of you are waiting that today could be your day. Well, the hope of many of us is the one thing will happen that will change our life forever. I don't know whether you knew this or not, but in the country of Spain, they have every year, I think it's around the second or third week in December, it's around Christmas time anyway, they have the world's largest lottery. And in that lottery, they give away close to, are you ready for this? $3 billion. I didn't say million, I said billion. Tickets for the lottery sell for approximately $600, or no, I don't think it's quite that much. Well, somewhere around $600. And people will go in from all over the world, and they'll buy these lottery tickets together, and everybody kind of waits around. But one thing that's really kind of good about this lottery, they give it away in about $400 million increments. So a lot of people win it. And so there are people that look forward to this, that with this one time of the year, they could be the one to win it. Some of you are sitting here and you're saying, why didn't I know about that? Where was I? You just tell me that now it's too late. They don't have the drawing. You're right, it's too late. And don't you dare buy that ticket next year. Unless that's the only thing you can do. But I believe that God's got something for you that's better than a lottery ticket. And better than something that will temporarily change your situation. But can you imagine this? The people, that's what they look forward to, that one time during the year where they say, remember the Oregon lottery thing, you could be the one to win it? Don't act like you haven't heard that. Yes, you did. You heard that. But they believe their life would change forever. I want to tell you that your life today could change forever within the next 35 minutes. God's about to do something to adjust the way that you look at yourself or your situation. They all shared one thing in common. They're waiting. They're waiting. Well, those sitting around the pool of miracles hoped that they would be the one that would be first in the pool when the move came. Now, here's the thing. The anticipation and posturing must have kept people on the edge. Can you imagine this? You kind of get used to it, but all of a sudden, anything that, you know, a leaf dropping in the water, and you see, oh my goodness, it's my time, because you're just so tense and you don't want to miss it. Well, think about that. Some of them may have thought, it's just a matter of time. Yeah, I know people have gotten there ahead of me, but, my time will come. Or how about this? Others may have thought this was their lot in life, that perhaps they might die with unrealized potential. And do you know something? I would almost say there's a forecast that the majority of them, that's what they believed. Even though they knew the angel was going to come, even though they knew the water was going to be troubled, they said, it'll never happen to me. And I want to tell you, the devil is a liar. Because as long as he can lock you up in that way of thinking, you'll never be who God designed you to be. Oh, I know I'm preaching to somebody today. Because he's got you in that mentality of thinking that it's going to happen to them, it's going to happen to her. And then you start thinking about your sins, about the ways that you haven't been, who will never be. And it's just an absolute mess. That's the reason why you need Jesus. Because Jesus can look beyond your situation, beyond the things you've experienced, and he can speak a word of hope that will change your life forever. Well, waiting is the key word for the people who have no vision and could not make any progress. Those are the words I want to talk about today. They talked to them themselves into believing that their life was out of their control. Some of us feel that way. Just wait and just... You know, there's a song that you sing, church. All my appointed time, I'm going to wait till my change comes. Doesn't that sound lovely? I'm going to wait till my change comes. The Lord give it, the Lord God take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the most depressing song I've ever heard. But they'd sing it. I'm waiting on Jesus. I'm waiting on the Lord. Waiting on Jesus. Waiting on... Really? And try to get happy over it. I'm like, oh, Jesus. Yep. Well, they had no goals and no aspirations for the future. Now listen to me carefully. I think this will grab most of us. These were people that were wounded souls that were emotionally handicapped by shame, bitterness, pain, here comes the big one, and rejection. And if any of those things can ever get a hold of you, I guarantee you, you'll be sitting alongside the pool for a long, long time. What does that mean? It means the whole world of these people revolved around a pool and a random visit of an angel that might appear absolutely at any moment. But regardless of how long they've been there, something kept them in the hope of that one day they might be chosen and set free. Let me take it into our culture. There are some people who have, some means by which to get themselves out of a situation. And some of them, they'll go to particular places and they get chosen to be on American Idol or The Voice. Oh, I'll name them all, America's Got Talent. And they're going to go on there and they're going to believe that they're going to be the one out of all these folks going to be chosen, and that's going to change their life forever. They're going to go to Vegas, they're going to get, and everything's going to change. But if it doesn't happen, their life is over. As far as they think. The reason why I mention all these different things is we're looking to something, not to someone. And I got to change this whole situation for us, that if we're looking to anyone other than Jesus, you're going to be hopelessly disappointed, because he's the only one who loves you enough to speak into your situation, regardless of whether you got talent or not. Because some of y'all are legend in your own mind. I'm sorry, sweetie, but you are not the one. You are not the one. I don't care whether you play the spoons or not. You're just not the one. You're unique, but you're... No. Well, many of the people become products of their environment. And after a long time, being there, some of the things that could have happened in people's lives had surely gone to waste and it would never be realized. Because you know what? As time goes by, you get old. And things you could do 10 years ago today, you can do them, but not as well as you could have done 10 years ago. And as the time clock keeps ticking, there's a reason why they put that note on the box of a shelf life best used by. Does that help you? They don't put it down on there just they need to put something on the box. They want to say, it's better if the sooner you get to using it, it's going to be better then. Because if you wait too long, the value or the texture or the taste or the whatever isn't going to be as good. I'm helping you right now. We all have a shelf life. Till Jesus comes on the scene. Because this fellow's been around for 38 years. His shelf life has reached its peak. If not, it's gone past that particular point of predictability. Jesus will approach us with the question that will allow us to determine our destiny. In verse 6, it says this, and Jesus says, and when he saw him lying there, he'd been there for a long time, condition. He says, do you want to be made well? You say, really? And what do you think I'm sitting by the pool for? But it's interesting. The response is going to, I think it will help all of us. Because we must take our focus off the way we have seen ourselves before Jesus came upon the scene. Jesus asked a question, but here's what I think we need to really look at. Look at what Jesus did not ask him. Jesus did not ask him, do you need help getting in the pool? But isn't that interesting to me? Because when our focus has been on the pool all this time, that's the only paradigm we know. That's the only way we think we're going to get well. Ever focus on something that you thought was going to be the only answer that you had and find out it wasn't the answer? Come on, don't leave your hands down. I don't want everybody to know. Because you figure out, if I can just find this, if I can get to this level of education, if I can find the right person who will love me no matter, all this other type of stuff, that's what's going to make my life better. And you know what? You found them, and you still are not who you thought you were going to be once you found them. Oh, my. But his focus was still on the pool. You know something? Jesus has presented himself to us many different times, and he'll ask us a question. And our default is to what we believe the answer is. You need to take your focus off the pool and put your focus on Jesus. You need to take your focus on what you thought was going to make it for you and put it on the one who asked you the question, do you want to get well? And the answer should have been, yes, I do. And you're the only one who can do it. But he said, well, he didn't know who Jesus was. The invitation of Jesus was directed toward a complete revamping of his body to perform in ways that had been dormant for 38 years. And when Jesus spoke, he was ready to bring deliverance to everything that had kept this man in bondage for all of his life. And so, regardless of what his response was, or his excuse, Jesus had mercy upon him and told him, he says, pick up your bed and walk. Now, I want to just break that down for you a little bit because it's important. He could have just told him, get up and walk. But he gave him something to do. He wanted him to reach down to the place to remind himself that this is what has been my security for so long. And that which is my security that kept me by the pool, not only am I getting up, but it's going with me. To remind me of where I've been, but I'm going to take it to where now I'm going. Oh, somebody's getting this. God has purpose in everything he does. Jesus will ask us to do things that we have never done before. When we respond to the word of God, we are acting upon the word that he's empowered us to perform. He says, not only are you going to walk, but you're going to take up that particular thing that was your security. You're going to take that on your shoulders. Now, we'll get to the part about the people, about the Sabbath in a moment. But I want you to get ahead of the story because it's so important for us to realize that God never wastes words. So, we must leave our life of inactivity behind and just take it away and to let people see as we're walking away from what used to be our destiny, and they'll say, isn't that the guy that used to lay by the pool? He's walking. Everything that God does has a focus of a testimony of giving us a new identity. Instead of this lame person by the pool, because if he hadn't taken it, they'd say, well, he's just some guy on the street, but this guy's carrying his bed. Don't you? This guy, can you imagine that? God wants to use you to be a testimony to someone else who's seen you in one particular dimension, but now they see you totally different. That's your assignment. Ooh, I'm loving this because some of you thought that little bed is a testimony of who you are. That bed is going to be a testimony of who you have become. Come on. Well, when you take up your bed and walk, it's a sign that this phase of your life is over. God does a complete work. And he does it for the benefit of those, for us, and for those that are around about us. Well, Jesus will call us to a new life that does not center around wishing our life was better. Repeat after me. I will no longer use excuses to be the way I am. Because this is what the guy says. The first thing goes, do you want to get well? He didn't answer. You know, somebody's always getting in their pool ahead of me. You dare ask me that question? That's hurtful. You don't understand what I've been through all my life. 38 years watching people walk away from here totally healed, and I'm here. You ask me, do I want to get well? It'll help me. Get over it. Answer the question. Do you want an excuse or do you want deliverance? Oh, this is going to be tough today. Because some of you are still sitting here right now. I need to kind of weigh this out because, you know, I don't want to be too hasty. Okay, go ahead. Be miserable for the rest of your life. I don't care. You like your life the way it is? Go ahead. Or do you want to get well? Because it's going to cost you something. It's going to take you from a place you've never been before. You're going to have to start believing what Jesus has said. He will never say something to offer to you if he's not going to do it. Do you think Jesus' words are going to be, do you want to get well? And he said, yeah, I do. That's too bad. Jesus does not bait you. He wants you to know what's really in your heart. And then when you discover what's in your heart is that you're still stuck at the pool, he says, well, if you're still stuck at the pool, good luck with that. I'm out of here. He still says, take up your bed and walk. I'm so glad that Jesus doesn't leave us in our pitiful state. When we respond to the word of God, we're acting upon the word that has empowered us to perform. We must leave our life of inactivity behind us to walk in faith toward our future. I want to talk to you about fear of success. So what do you mean? When you've been to a particular place for a long period of time, 38 years is a long time, and forget about for a moment the people that have been healed, but all of a sudden, an opportunity comes along for you to change your paradigm of experience, and the challenge is for you to do something you've never done before. Take up your bed and walk. Now, you've seen other people walking. Or you may have seen other person that maybe is laying on a cot beside you. They got up and walked. So you know it's possible. Or they got in the pool, excuse me, and then came out and started walking. Or whatever their malady was. I believe this. There's faith in this room today for people to receive from Jesus things that they thought they could never experience before. And why would you say that? Because the earmark of this scripture is so, it's so impregnated with, not just thoughts, but it's impregnated with life that Jesus says, that he's putting some things out there that would just kind of, it just overrides what you've declared being normal. God wants to change your normal. What does that look like? Well, Jesus will call us to a life that is not centered around wishing we were better. We are no longer crippled by the thought that someone else will get what was intended for us. I want to talk to you about those of you who, can I say it in kind of a, I don't think it's too harsh of a term. Some of you feel like you've been ripped off. I'm going to get a little closer than that. Somebody else got what you thought was intended for you. And you have been bitter about it for a long time. Here's the other, I'm going to go a little deeper. They didn't deserve it, you do. Woo! Does that sting? Because you weren't as bad as they were, or your sins weren't as bad as theirs, or this type of thing, and somehow God made a mistake because he gave it to them, didn't give it to you, and you were at least tried to serve God, and they've done nothing for Jesus. I'm going to get to the place where it really hurts, because that's the part that keeps us paralyzed. When we think that we deserve things that other people got and we didn't. Oh my. All of that is impacted in this story. And the Jesus that comes along says that he, you know, the story starts out so simple. It says, and after this, Jesus went up to feast Jerusalem, and he went out, you know, and there is in Jerusalem, you know, the sheep gate, you know, his pool, you know, and Bethesda having five porches that were, it's where all the crippled and beat up and you know, people hung out. You may not be ready for this, I'm going to say it. That's why you're here today. You're the crippled, the beat up, and the other folks, that's why we're hanging out together today. We all the same. We all sitting around the pool. And the only person that's going to change us is Jesus. All of us around the pool. Going to take a big dip here shortly. Let me give you this last little real quick thing. Well, John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. I can wrap this real rather quickly. Now Jesus passed by, and he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples said to him, asking, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Okay, move on. And Jesus answered him, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. In the last two verses. And when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is called Sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. I want your faith to come to its highest level at this point, because I'm about to say some things that will hopefully push you over the edge. Jesus encountered a man as he's walking down the street, and it's an opportunity. There was no absence of opportunity of getting involved with people with their struggles. But we must be able to ask the right questions. And that's the reason why we stay in our state of whatever it might be. Many times we're looking for someone to blame. Woo! Sting! If my mama had done this, if she'd held me longer, if I was breastfed, I'd be a much better person. Good luck. I went there, I know. I ain't coming back. It's too late. If my daddy had been there to mentor me, he'd take me to school this time, and he played baseball with me, I'd be a better person than I am today. It's all his fault. Yeah, go ahead. Blame him. Go ahead. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got something that they wish was different. And so here, it's just human nature. And so we're looking for someone to blame. And so the disciples, Jesus' padres, you know, his posse, they're with him. But they're just as dumb as they can be. We got some dumb bunnies here, dumb bunnies. So the man has been blind from birth, and they said, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? See, somebody's going to label you some kind of way as an excuse. And I love Jesus' answer. Let me borrow 5 minutes, because I got to finish this thing. Neither this man or his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I want to tell you right now, the state that you're in right now is not, you're not in a final state of existence. Well, the fellow's blind. He said, but it was that the glory of God would be revealed. He said, well, why did God make it? Will you stop and get to the real issue? God is going to get glory out of whatever you went through that you feel was useless. I'm not going to tell you there wasn't any pain. I'm not going to tell you there wasn't difficult. I'm not going to tell you any of that kind of stuff. But God will get glory out of your life if you learn how to ask the right questions. God wants to use every situation in your life to bring glory and freedom to all who desire it. And one of the things that Jesus declared is he came to do was to give sight to the blind. I'm just going to summarize this, because I could make this a lot longer, and I don't want to make it really long. But let me just say this. So, fellow's blind. The Lord does something. And I want to tell you, he'll do that very thing. If you really want to get what Jesus wants to give you, if you want your blindness to be removed, you don't get to declare how it's going to happen. Now, you can stay blind. But Jesus does something. Gives him some dirt. Now, the man couldn't see, but he could hear. I just want to help you with this. He said, what at? And next thing he knows, he feels something anointing his eyes. And I don't believe he cried out, oh, no, you don't. I want to tell you, if you want to see today, God's going to do it His way. You don't get to call the shots. And if He wants to spit on the ground, put it in your eyes, just accept the way God's going to do it. We get so arrogant and so proud. Oh, if it means that, I'd rather stay blind. Go ahead, be blind. Then on top of that, God, Jesus says, and by the way, go take a bath. I'm just talking what the Word of God says. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Last piece. And the Bible says, and he came back seeing. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I got to stop right here. I'm going to continue next week with another little aspect of this, but I'll draw a comma. But I think I've said enough of the Word of God today. There's somebody in this room that says, you know what? I've been sitting by that pool too long, waiting for something to happen. I've had it in my mind set of certain things that need to occur in order for Jesus to get my attention. And I want to tell you, you're wrong.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.